This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Your morning starts now. It's the Q102 Jeff and Jen podcast, brought to you by CVG Airport. Fly healthy through CVG. For more information, go to CVG Airport /fly healthy.
Natalie Portman's making news this morning.
Natalie Portman, yeah. I mean, if you've ever read The Three Little Pigs and thought, you know, there just aren't enough women in this story, Natalie Portman has solved the problem. She's written a book called Natalie Portman's Fables, and she took three classic stories. She took the pigs, the tortoise and the hare, and Country Mouse and City Mouse, and made them more gender inclusive. Hmm. For instance, the tortoise and the hare is female. Nice. Natalie says children's books have this very special place in our lives because we read them over and over and over again like no other books. They have a way of instilling information and values into both children and parents. Wow. And when I was reading the books, I was struck by how the classic stories had overwhelmingly male characters and thinking, what am I telling my kids, both my son and my daughter, about whose stories are important to tell? And also, whose lives should they care about?
I guess I never really thought about whether the tortoise or the hare was
had a gender.
Had a penis or a vagina.
Yeah.
I wasn't really sure.
Now we know.
She's right, though, because there are some children's books that I read that sometimes I'm like, what? What is the message here?
Yeah.
Specifically, the rainbow fish.
Yeah.
I get very upset about the rainbow fish because the rainbow fish is this fish that's like beautiful.
And sparkly.
And I understand where they're going with this, but I'm seeing it a different way. The rainbow fish is a very beautiful sparkle fish that has rainbow scales. And all of the other fish want to have rainbow scales.
Because they don't have the sparkly rainbow scales.
Because they do not. And so the rainbow fish goes and talks to the octopus. And the octopus says, well, start giving away your scales to the other people. It's just the right thing to do. And so he does. The rainbow fish starts giving away the scales to the other fish. And the other fish feel completely beautiful. And then the rainbow fish ends up with just one scale and feels like okay because they have a lot of friends now.
So he's conforming.
So that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Why do you have to give away all of your magic in order to make friends?
And make everybody else feel better.
Is he conforming or is he sharing?
See, and that's what they're saying. And I'm feeling like what you should do, rainbow fish, is encourage other people to find their inner rainbow within themselves and let them know that they are beautiful on their own. And you don't have to give away all of your own magic.
Hmm. I'm with you.
I do like other endings to stories sometimes. I'll be like, Penelope, this is what rainbow fish did. But if you are faced with a situation like this, this is your personal decision if you decide that you would like to give away some magic or encourage those to find the magic within themselves.
She looks
at me like, what? And Scott's like, it's a book, Jen. Calm down. I'm like, but you don't understand the message.
Yeah, I mean, we're implanting these ideas and these beliefs into our children. I mean,
which the sharing, I get.
Yeah, like if you got really fancy, nice clothes and your friends all have crappy clothes, share some of your nice clothes with them so they can look nice, too.
Yes. But it's not clothes. These are his actual scales.
Pieces of his body.
Yeah.
Of who he is. Of the self.
So like his talents and his attributes.
Right.
You would share with others.
Yes. But I also have now, like someone gave us that book. And I now skew towards buying my own books that are more about other things.
Them. You could just write your own stories.
I thought about that. The Adventures of Bun Bun and Lammy.
Who are Bun Bun and Lammy?
These are two animals at our house that also were given to us at a young age. And I have always done like role play and fun things like with Penelope through Bun Bun and Lammy. So I was like, I should write a child's book series called The Adventures of Bun Bun and Lammy. And I won't tell you the idea just in case I ever get fired here and pursue that route. But it's a really good one where they just get sporadically left.
Different places.
Yes.
You've talked about this before. I remember this.
I like this.
The Adventures of Lammy, Bun Bun and Lammy. Coming to you.
President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden faced off in their second and final debate, moderated by NBC News White House correspondent Kristen Welker, or just as likely between President Trump and Kristen Welker and moderated by Joe Biden. All right, come on, guys.
For the most part, things were pretty civil compared to the first debate, which was basically a UFC fight on meth. Yeah, it was a lot nicer. If the first debate was sponsored by Red Bull, this one was sponsored by NyQuil.
NASA's made an exciting new discovery about the moon. There is a huge announcement coming from NASA, but we have to wait until Monday.
NASA, you know.
Always feel confident on your second date. With help from the Plastic Surgery Group, schedule a consultation at 513-791-4440 or at theplasticsurgerygroup.com. Surgery has
an art. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, I love you, but come on. We're living through a pandemic. The last thing we need right now is a cliffhanger about the moon. Just tell us. It's like Dr. Fauci saying, I have some exciting news about the virus that I'll tell you right after the break.
Jimmy Fallon right there. Last night he had Julia Louis-Dreyfus. And she explained how she came up with Elaine's infamous dance on Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The writers wrote this script. I got it the night before the table read. And it said, Elaine dances weird. But they didn't say how or anything. So I got in front of the mirror and I tried out a couple of movements that I thought looked horrible.
Yeah.
And then I came down to the kitchen and my husband was there and my mom was visiting at the time. And I said, okay, guys, tell me which one of these is worse. And I did it for them, and they chose that one, and that's the one that I did in the show. And the thing that most people don't know is that, of course, there's music playing when you watch that episode, and Elaine is dancing to music. But when we actually shot it, we couldn't play music because all of a sudden those herky-jerky movements would have been to the beat. I couldn't separate it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you'd be too on rhythm.
It had to be completely off rhythm. And that's just a way of me defending myself so you don't think that I really dance like that. I actually do have a little bit of rhythm.
That's funny.
She's so great.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll go ahead.
No, I was just going to start talking about Scarlett Johansson. She's going to be starring in Bride, which is a new take on The Bride of Frankenstein.
That sounds cool.
She's going to be, probably the hottest bride of Frankenstein ever. Right?
Exactly.
Here is the synopsis. A woman created to be an ideal wife, the singular obsession of a brilliant entrepreneur, rejects her creator and is forced to flee her confined existence, confronting a world that sees her as a monster.
Hmm.
It is on the run that she finds her true identity, her surprising power, and the strength to remake herself as her own creation.
A hot monster.
So definitely a feminist take on the story. And Scarlett says, it is long overdue for Bride to step out of the shadow of her male counterpart and stand alone.
Long overdue.
Yeah, we are extremely excited to emancipate this classic anti-heroine and reanimate her story to reflect the change we see today.
Did Natalie Portman write it?
No, but sounds like she could have. Yeah.
Also this morning, a new ranking of the best impressions of presidents on SNL. This is fun. UpRocks ranked every presidential impression in the history of SNL, although they simplified it a little by not ranking every individual performance and grouping a few. But, it kind of reminded me of some classic impressions that I had forgotten about, like Ronald Reagan, who was imitated by Randy Quaid at one point, George W. Bush was mimicked by Will Forte and Jason Sudeikis. You know, we always think of Will Ferrell.
Mm-hmm.
But there were other actors who played these roles as well. Fred Armisen, who played Barack Obama, he did a great Barack Obama. Dan Aykroyd's Jimmy Carter, Jay Farrow's Barack Obama, Alec Baldwin's Donald Trump is one of the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about Sarah Palin, Tina Fey?
Oh, that was fantastic.
She
she wasn't a president, but still, that was a great impression.
She was good. So good.
Yeah. So let's give you the top three here. Number three. One of my favorites, Will Ferrell as George W. Bush.
Donald Trump thinks the media hates him. One time, an Iraqi reporter threw an actual shoe at me.
I remember that. That was
my favorite George Bush moment.
He took it off his foot, lobbed it straight at my noggin. Then he gathered himself, took off the other one, and tried it again. But you know what they say? Shoe me once. Shoes on you. Shoe me twice. I'm keeping those shoes.
And I remember, do you remember when the first shoe, the guy hucked the first shoe at George W. Bush, and he dodged it, and he looked over, and he kind of smiled a little bit. He's like, you want to go?
Yeah, he popped back up. And he
smirked.
Said,
he smirked.
He's kind of like, bring it.
All right, we doing this? Yeah, come on. Give it your best shot. Let's see. Number two, Daryl Hammond is Bill Clinton.
Hillary would make a great president.
Thank you.
And I would make an even greater first dude.
Thank you, Bill. That's nice.
Hillary, isn't it crazy that phones can take videos now? Yeah. I mean, if they could have done that in the 90s, I'd be in jail.
I can't remember what event he was doing, but Daryl Hammond got invited to the White House. He was telling this story. We had him in studio one time, and we had this great conversation on the air. We wrap up our segment with Daryl Hammond, and then he tells this story that I'm like, oh, I wish you had told that on the air. He got invited to the White House because I don't know if he was speaking at some dinner or whatever that was being hosted by President Clinton. And he goes to the hotel or wherever they're putting him up. I don't know that he actually stayed in the White House, but they had like all of his favorite things. Like if he were to imagine the perfect writer, they had everything. And they hadn't asked him what his favorite this or that was or what his favorite champagne was. But all this stuff was in place. And he asked the president, he's like, you know, the president was like, you know, I hope everything has been laid out for you nice and they're taking good care of you. And he says, yeah, Mr. President, I mean, like, you even knew what my favorite, you know, pillow was or everything is nothing has been ignored. He's like, you'd be surprised what we know. I believe, you know, like it's not surprising that that they would have that information, access to that information.
Right.
You know, we talk about how social media and Facebook is eavesdropping on us, how Alexa hears everything we say. What kind of technology did they have back in the day?
Yeah, or just people on feet on boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground, people on the inside. Well, you know. And then the number one, greatest presidential impression on SNL. This is my favorite.
We're in the midst of the holiday season here, waiting for the checkered flag of the Christmas shopping season to start our economic engines. And how, as Americans, do we take part? By doing what we have always done, we consume. That's who we are. Let's not fight it. We are a nation of consumers. We love to shop, shop, shop. Boy said to me, don't pass this up. I said, not gonna buy it. Not gonna buy it. Bought it.
It's pretty good.
Dana.
It is pretty good.
Oh, Dana.
Yeah.
So Elton John is getting his very own Barbie doll, which celebrates his unique look. Mattel is making this doll. And they say the Elton John Barbie doll shines bright in a glittery top and flared denim embellished with Elton's sparkling initials. Her Elton embossed bomber jacket. Why did they say her Elton embossed? Oh, I guess
it's a Barbie.
It is Barbie. She is Barbie. Okay. Well, I keep thinking, I kind of think Barbie dolls. I always kind of just include all dolls under the umbrella
Skipper,
of Barbie.
Ken.
Yes, as all Barbie dolls. But I guess this is a female doll.
She, so this is what she looks like. She has a Elton John outfit.
Gotcha.
She's wearing Elton's clothes.
Yes.
All right. So her Elton embossed bomber jacket features star-printed sleeves and a rainbow-striped hem. Nods to the artist's iconic style include rainbow-striped platform boots, a purple bowler hat, and sparkly pink-tinted sunglasses.
Mm. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
She's also $50. That's a lot of money for a Barbie.
She is. Elton posted photos of his Barbie and called it an honor. So good luck getting that one.
Has Penelope seen Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the Disney
She knows
animated?
Who Snow White is, but she's really only ever watched like Cinderella. Like she knows who they all are because mm-hmm. we have the books.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it.
So I guess like back in the day when they would do these animated classics, they would use models to try to kind of animate the movements, like to try to get the movements down of a certain, especially if they were like a dancer. And the model they used for Disney's Snow White in the 1937 animated classic Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, she was an actress and dancer named Marge Champion. She just died Wednesday at the age of 101.
Wow.
But, you know, the Snow White animated character, I guess, was modeled after her. Her father was a famous Hollywood dancer, and he was friends with Walt Disney, and that's how she got the part.
Cool.
Yeah, the movie's animation team studied Marge's movements. And keep in mind, the animation team, they were all men at the time. And they wanted to make Snow White move more realistically. She also did the same thing for the dwarf Dopey, the blue fairy in Pinocchio, and Hyacinth Hippo in Fantasia, and Mr. Stork in Dumbo.
Nice.
Yeah. And by the way, her stepdaughter is actress Katie Sagal from Married with Children and Sons of Anarchy.
Wow. I'm not a big fan of Snow White's voice. She's one that I just, when she sings to the animals, she is very high-pitched.
Very high-pitched. Well, that was not her.
Yes, correct.
But. Thanks for listening to the Q102 Jeff and Jen Morning Show Podcast, brought to you by CVG Airport. Fly healthy through CVG. For more information, go to CVG Airport / fly healthy.